So the project is corresponding to an attempt to propose a prototype for the catalog of the museum. And in this version of catalog, we try to let's say involve more question and issue about some ideological statements. So the project is corresponding to an attempt to propose a prototype for the catalog of the museum. In this version of catalog, we try to involve more question and issue about some ideological statements that are sometimes less visible in the actual form. For example, the colonial issues, the philosophical categories, and also some problems that are around it. These prototypes take the way that the knowledge is displayed as a narrative, because it's also echo the question of history of the piece of the museum. Then it's question how the narrative about the pieces comes and which tools was used in order to build this narrative and which kind of paradigm and also epistemological way that are used in order to project such knowledge. There is the idea of taking the database as a metaphor of all of it, and how to let's say generate a database or a way of displaying the knowledge that can welcome the let's say side stories and also the ideological ideas that are embedded in. As a mo yes, let's say a mode of illustration of it, we took the example the fiction of one of the piece of the museum, the claims for telling her story, which means propose another way to build the narrative and to then the different tools to construct the knowledge.
So I was wondering, how did you work on this issue? How did the catalog, how did you make the catalog, or how did you work on this other database and narrative?
We are working in parallel with museal structures and more in general computational structures or informatic structures, and I think we somehow institute some connections or comparisons between the two that reveal how they both act as ways of structuring content and categorizing knowledge. So, yeah, if the first maybe attempt in the first Diversions exhibitions was looking at the structures of image treatment and organization, and let's say collaging of these materials coming from the online catalog of the museum. In this case, maybe we are looking more to the structures of categories that are organizing this content. So we are not really rebuilding a catalog, but we are still working with the online catalog of the museum at Carmentis, but yeah, focusing on the relation between the objects contained in the catalog and the categorization structure and database in which they are set.
Would you say that that's the main difference between the two versions?
Well, no, there are many differences because we.
Could you maybe differentiate the first version from the second version?
The first version was really bound on the graphical illustration of the problematics. It was also story-based. It took the graphical illustration as a way to illustrate that it's possible to reshape the knowledge structure, and it took also the images as a pretext, let's say, to display that the college become kind of categories instead of being only a list. The nesting script used as a graphical way to display how the array or the table is containing the knowledge and make the relation between items. And in this version, it's more focused on the visitor experience in front of the interface, because then we are more into making some collision between the computer structure and the data structure. And we take the visitor experience in front of an interface and the form, the data form of the Carmontis interface, as an experience to feel or to see how knowledge could be structured differently. Then in this experience with the browser, the Prometheus browser, we try to make sensible the relation between the items in the collection and the meta object that structures the items, and there is a kind of reciprocity or something else, kind of porosity between the object that structure the items and the items that are supposed to be structured by the form, by the structure.
Yeah, and we are really focusing on the browser as a interpreter. Yeah, well, before we were working in different ways on the materials, also interacting with the browser, where mostly a user encounters the catalog of the museum. In this case, we're really looking at how the browser itself has its own rationality of receiving and interpreting content, and trying to alter how this happens with the content of the museum catalog.
The way the project sets up a relation or not to the institution, like how does the museum figure in this work? Because like somehow the browser is taking takes a role in this story, the objects, the metadata, but where is the institution in this constellation?
The thing we are, let's say, starting to discover is also the fact that the metadata used for structuring the browser are quite similar to the tools that the institution used to structure knowledge. I think it's interesting that, and Martino says that, I think I found it really relevant, that the fact that when using the public interface of the catalog, you see more about the how the knowledge is structured in the institutional context, while it is in the internet context. So somehow the browser is could be a kind of bridge between how the museum and the institutional context structures create or build knowledge by also experiencing how the browser also structure the information and data.
The fact that the interventions that you are making into the Carmentis database are in fact not done in the actual database, but in a mirror version of it that looks like it is the official catalog, but is not.
Yeah.
So there's something interesting going on in the displacement of agency. And so we were trying to think about, like, and we wanted to ask you about what's happening here. Like, is it a fake intervention, or is it actually the proxying also make things possible that otherwise could not be imagined?
And the thing is, to in order to accomplish this share of information, share of knowledge, and also to affirm that there is curatorial guidance and of the knowledge, they need to make it public. So, in a certain way, I think that the link with the institution is concretely done by the computing and context. They need this context. There is also the museum, of course, but we are talking about how they display, how they digitalize the object. And so I really think that there is kind of bound. The problem is this bound is kind of clusterized because we need to reinvent a lot of things in order to enact this. With the promiscuous browser, with the exhibition also, we are forking the catalog. I don't know, because for me the problem is definitely a problem of permission, because we couldn't access to the database, but in somehow we can make some imagination or speculation about it, and I feel that it's more powerful than only become kind of agent of the institutional structure, because we can have the agency of all the let's say computing possibilities in order to discuss and to propose something else.
Trying to see whether it's use it almost as an opening path to approach those collections differently than with the possibility that we are thinking of now traditionally on how you work with a collection of a cultural institution.
To me, there is something obvious that the link for work with the institution is a bit broken.
Why?
I mean, it's time for instance, I have the feeling that it's really difficult to really work with, for example, the museum. I mean, we are using the online catalog, so we are really in the marge of the institution, but just using one of the means they use to make the information accessible. This idea of browser came because it was difficult to access to the real data, to the concrete database. So it's also a kind of symptom of this disjunction.
And somehow this attempt to modify the catalog is. I don't know, but it's the small recompense to the small door, let's say, to access it. I don't know how it could be a real anchor to the institutional way of doing things. This work of trying to find some patterns and how to change it, let's say, from the outside, is also something that learn. I have the feeling, I don't know if it's true also for you, Martino, but I have the feeling that I'm learning much more without being totally dumped by the institutional context.
because there is always some clothes to work with them. I have the feeling that it's more easy to access to interesting knowledge in the sense that it could be used in order to change something. I'm sure that it could be possible inside of the walls of the institution, but it makes I have the feeling that it makes us more it's a big word, but I would say creative, because we have to rethink not only what it is inside but how it works also in outside. So the problem is still there, but there is maybe a kind of a preparation to go further, without being totally held by the institutional clauses. And it's funny because there is also, because of this issue, we discovered, it's a big word, but we try to find links between what we use daily with the browser and the fact that this browser has something in common with the way that the knowledge is built in such an institution. So for instance, I'm thankful for this situation. because it's opening doors that I would not expect. We'll see, maybe from those doors we're going to find a way to go, to penetrate the big door. By the
way. Yeah. Kick in the big door.
Yeah.
But also, I feel that where we interact with the institution through the presence online, we are also looking at a different formation of agents somehow, because we have maybe, I mean, yeah, personally, I feel I have more tools to understand what they're doing or what they're trying to do or what they pretend to do, but they do not do. Yeah, what companies they end up working with. So I have maybe more ability to understand the institution, like how it's placing there, than being there physically, basically, where there is so much effort in how they, or so much structures that maybe I am just like less able to relate to.
It seems that the two proxy moves you've made, one to introduce Tsitsimin as the agent of change, and two to introduce the scraped Carmentis that can somehow perform the change, and I think also the browser. Or might be ways to somehow
I can't
work
hear
on
you.
But in a way, one important thing I think is that there is still a direct relation to the online catalog. Like the choices we made were to work with the actual online version of the system and not to scrape it or to make a fork or a copy or a. So what were you asking before, if it was the real catalog? Like in a way, yeah, it's the real catalog, but we wanted maybe more, I don't know if it's unreal or other forms of real, that it shows more its internal structure. That's our version tries to show more the internal structure of the actual thing online. At least I think that's somehow important, because then it can also speak back to how the browser work in interpreting what gets sent to you and so on.
Let's see, when much of the discourse forming right now happens in online environments, where other agents than just humans speaking seem to be part of forming opinions and making politics. Let's say algorithms, for example. How could this shift to the object be maybe a way to think differently about the way like discourse is being formed or it can be intervened with. So how is the fact that the object here is the agent of change, can someone somehow help with thinking about digital infrastructures and how opinion is formed there?
So there is a funny thing with Tzitzimin, the story, because they are supposed to came every 52 years to destruct the world, but they will not do that if people decide to shut off all the fires and sacrifice one person, and then we renew the fires. And in this story, for me, the most interesting part is the fact that it's obliged people to reconsider knowledge of making fire. So it's a bit a kind of ceremony of refreshing knowledge. And in this story, there is the object of this kind of agency to refresh the way that we build knowledge and to have a reflection about that, to let's say, show up how the knowledge is built and why it's built like this and which kind of effect the knowledge building policy have on people between them, or way of taking life, or way of taking the others, diversity, things like that. In the case of the browser, we are trying to allow objects to restructure the base, the way that the knowledge is displayed, as a way to show how the knowledge also is structured. In this context, the interest of giving this agency to objects is also to create a kind of reflexivity or reciprocity between objects that shape the knowledge and objects that are target by this knowledge. I have the feeling that if we want to think about diversity, it's not a good idea to think it with a generic point of view without allowing the diverse subject or object, without allowing it to respond, to be also responsive to the view and the way that we build the view. I have the feeling that this reciprocity is also inviting people to be part of the process, the knowledge building process. In our case, I think also that we are mostly trying to make more the structural, the knowledge structural sensitive, and I feel that the fact that object can respond, can reshape, can also express something in this model that is normally hierarchical, invite people to also be part of, to sense the process and also to be part of this process and not take the knowledge as something as granted. But also as something in process, as something that is relay and maybe dependent to the target that it's trying to make knowledge.
Can you maybe explain a bit, like, what is the promiscuous browser? What is it doing?
It started more as a way to deal with the issue that we wanted to work with a modified browser. And with the exhibition moving online, we had to basically deal with how much the browser is secured and black boxed apparatus. So we had to think of a workaround to make it possible to have a modified browser accessible by others. So to do that, we had to somehow make a virtual computer that would be loaded in another person's browser, which would have a computer loading inside, which would have a browser which is modified inside, which is all very sounds all very abstract, of course. But the interesting thing is that this opened up to promiscuity, which is something quite interesting also for what Zumana was saying earlier on, of how much normally you are taught to make a query on your own to a database or to a catalog or to a website. And in this case, it's open to the fact that this browser will potentially be shared with others at the same time. So of course, in the frame of the personal computer, all of a sudden to put like a computer which allows multiple usage of the same interface is somehow something that we find funny or exciting. Yeah, and this also relates somehow with what you were asking before on the object question, because like as much as we are excited of how basically when you break assumptions of computing, often interesting things happen of how you understand things and hierarchies and power structures in computing or their conditions, because like the object should always be kept as a content of a database and not bleed into becoming the structure or the rules or the function, the computation, like the separation between storage and computation, that the object somehow questions in what we're trying to do, that the object all of a sudden set other conditions than the ones that it's usually set into.
So meaning and the object, like the digital object, starts to interfere with the structure, while normally the hierarchy is very clear that structure is set before the object can actually, and it sets the conditions for the object. But here, this reciprocity is being made promiscuous. Maybe it's time to ask you about what question you want to ask to our next conversation. We will talk to Nicolas and Michael about their work on sketchy recognition.
Actually, it's difficult to make it a question, but it's a point of interest that I have with the question of interoperability of the items or the labels in the catalog. When you see how it works, there is from the label something really strong about relational database. For example, the number of inventory is really essential. But if you see, for example, the picture, it could be not appearing on the catalog. It's not. It doesn't matter. It's a pity for the visitor, but it's not structural for the database. It's something. It's let's say a kind of orphan atom of the database. And I have the feeling that what they are doing also is to make a kind of bond between the structural the way that the database is structured, a link between this and the way that the images also is structured, not only in the computer way but also in the recognition human recognition way.
I'm trying to process, to understand what you're getting at. So somehow the structure within the image.
Exactly. And there is, from the last exhibition, I saw also the attempt to bound and to make it interoperable between the structure, the computational structure of the image and the way that the data are structured. So that's why I say that it's not. I don't know how to make a question, but I think that there is something really interesting in it, and also kind of strange, because comment dire, not strange, it's not a good word, but there is something into it that could be a kind of a continuation of making the database more and more extensive. But it's not what they are doing, but it's also really close to that. And I like the fact that it involves also the idea of recognition, human recognition, I mean. So I don't know how to formulate it as a question, but I feel that there is a kind of problematic behind this idea of make some links between interoperability of database, which is structured on some ideological and philosophical based generic ideas, and find a way to bridge the way that the images are structured.